And a happy Sabbath to everyone. Before we go into our message today, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father in heaven, hallowed and honored be the name. Father, we ask that you send your Spirit here among us, touch each one of us here today. Help all of the things that are said be to your honor and glory. We praise you and ask that you be with us through Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Our message today is entitled, The Falling Away. We want to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Paul is speaking of that day, the return of the Lord. He tells us, let no man deceive you by any means. I want to talk just a minute about us, about the Hebrew Roots Movement, Messianic Judaism, which we profess to be a part of. Over the last decade, we've saw some pretty amazing things. I've heard people testify about being in mainstream churches and hearing God Himself speak to them about His commandments and His Sabbaths and coming out of them. So there does appear to be a calling out of His people as He has promised. I've met people from the Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, etc. over the past few years at Chicote in different places. And it's a wonderful thing to see and hear their testimony. But lately, I'm sad to say, I see more within this movement of what could possibly be a part of the falling away. Remember, our scripture reading said, let no man deceive you by any means. We've saw many in the last few years seem to come to think that the commandments somehow saved them. In fact, there's a growing deception within this movement at this time that I believe leads to the ultimate denial of Yeshua Himself. And I would like to speak about that a little bit this morning. Not that I believe it's a particular problem within our assembly or congregation here, but it is growing in steam. I debated people on it just this last week. So at some point, some of us here will probably be exposed to it. And what I'm talking about is a growing movement where people are proclaiming the Apostle Paul to be false. It is within the Hebrew Roots Movement at this point, because these people that we've talked to, debated with this last week, profess to be a part of that. And I have saw multiple people lately making these claims. Now, they give you a lot of reasons why they say they believe Paul is false. And as soon as you shoot one down, they seem to go and twist more scripture and find themselves another one. This particular week, when dealing with some of them, Revelation 2 and 20 was brought up. What the Messiah has to say. Revelation 2 and 20 says, "But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols." Now, as was stated there, that's the Messiah speaking, our Lord and Savior. And as we know, He is our only way to the Father. He is our only salvation. And He does make it plain here that to eat food sacrificed to idols is wrong. So, if Paul did say it was okay, as they proclaimed, there'd be a problem. So that's what I want to look at this morning. What Paul actually said. So for that, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in its entirety. And then we're going to discuss some things about it. "Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, you know that all of us possesses knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge. But anyone who loves God is known by Him. Hence, as to the eating of foods offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, though there may be many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us closer to Yahweh. We are no worse off if we do eat it, no better off if we do not. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers from whom Messiah died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Messiah. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall." Now, most people teach from these scriptures that Paul is in fact saying it's okay to eat food sacrificed to idols. And that was their problem with Paul this past week. But I have to say, not so fast. Let's take into account what Scripture itself tells us about Paul and his writings. And for that, we're going to turn, before we discuss chapter 8 here more in depth, we're going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, while you're waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, beware that you are not carried away with the error of the lawless and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So, Peter told us very clearly that sometimes Paul is a little hard to understand. And first of all, I would like to point out here that Peter makes it clear that Paul is there, meaning himself and the other apostles' beloved brother. So in fact, if we called Paul false, would we not also have to have a problem with Peter? See the road we're on? But as I stated there a while ago, more importantly, Peter tells us here that Paul's writings are hard to understand. He also warns that to follow those who do not understand and twist Paul's writing is to lose your own stability and be carried away by the error of the lawless. So I believe, in fact, Peter in that statement is making it very clear that Paul is not anti-law, because he says those who twist Paul's writings are the lawless. And then all the way back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to look at something to show why Paul was saying what he was. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that all of you should be in agreement, and that there should be no division among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. So, in fact, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians to settle arguments and disputes that are going on within the church at Corinth. There was division and there was strife among them at the time. They were under attack by Satan, because that is, in fact, what it is when bickering starts in the congregation, is it not? It's an attack by Satan. So Paul is answering an apparent question here in chapter 8 about, is it okay to eat food sacrificed to idols? That indicates that somebody there thought it was and somebody thought it wasn't. And Paul is giving his opinion on that. And also, Have we saw there in that verse where it said, it's been reported to him by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you? When you start bickering in a congregation, other congregations are going to talk about you, aren't they? So it's very important that we have unity. So, now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. As I say, he's made it clear that he's answering a question here, and that's why he makes the statement at the beginning of that verse, in verse 1, now concerning food sacrificed to idols. And then Paul goes on to tell us what? That knowledge puffs up. And then he goes on to explain to us that through that knowledge that we may have, we may think it's okay to eat that food. Because we can reason away that a false god is nothing. After all, food is not what brings us close to Yahweh, right? That's the line of reasoning Paul's talking about we will take there. But then he throws the big but in there. Everybody may not see it that way. Everybody may not have that same knowledge, and everybody may not see it that way. Hence, you have the division. And he goes on in verse 12 here. He says, and he's still speaking about when you eat this food. He says, but when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience, when it is weak, you sin against Messiah. And you must remember that he's still talking about the eating of that food. So I believe in verse 12, he very definitely calls it a sin. Not against your fellow congregation members, but against Christ himself. So, you see, it may be hard to understand, like a lot of Paul's writings are. And if we take a couple of those verses right out of the middle of that chapter, it does appear that Paul's saying it's okay, we can eat it. And that's where everybody wants to stop. But when we take chapter 8, line upon line in its entirety, precept upon precept, as we're told to take all of the Word of God, it does appear to me that Paul is definitely calling eating food sacrificed to idols sin, the same way that Yeshua said over in Revelation that we read. He is very simply using a teaching to illustrate to him of Yeshua himself. Because in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, Yeshua tells us, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around his neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Paul is very simply using this teaching, this concept from Yeshua himself, to explain to us, in his opinion, why eating food sacrificed to idols is a sin. He's not going against what Yeshua said and saying it's okay. He's in complete agreement with him. In fact, he's using the principle from Yeshua to explain that. And remember what the first scripture we've read there said, let no man deceive you in any by any means. And this is what we have going on today with these people and their denial of Paul. Because if you deny Paul, as we pointed out earlier, Peter called Paul his beloved brother, and also said that Paul wrote according to the knowledge given to him. Hence, he was calling Paul's writings inspired by the Holy Spirit, was he not? So now, if you were willing to go down that road that Paul was false, you would be forced to consider that maybe Peter was too. And when this scripture was pointed out to some of these people from Peter just this week, as Raina could testify, some of these people made that very accusation against Peter. They went right headlong down that road. I have a direct quote right here from the woman. She said, "Peter also denied Yeshua, double-minded and unstable in every way himself." That's what she said about Peter. So you see where the denial of one apostle leads to. It leads to the denial of another apostle. And now if we look at the New Testament, it promises us that Peter will sit on a throne and rule over one of the tribes of Israel in the kingdom. We're promised that in Matthew 19 and 28 and in Luke 20, 28, 30. We're also promised in Revelation 21 and 14 that Peter's name would be inscribed on the gate. Among other many other books of the New Testament that speak of Peter being a loyal follower of Yeshua. In fact, it tells us that he's one of his dearest friends. In fact, Yeshua even told him in John 21, 15 through 19, how he would die. Matter of fact, we will read that. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." So now suddenly, if you have a problem with Peter, you must have a problem with the Gospel of John. See the slippery slope they've started down? So when people head down this road of denial of Paul, it will lead to denial of Peter, John, Matthew, Luke, etc. It is a road that leads to the eventual denial of Yeshua and a return to Orthodox Judaism. seen it happen. As I said, I don't think this is a problem within our congregation here. But I'm speaking about it because it is a growing movement. When you get on social media, into the Torah groups and those sorts of things, this is a very large and growing problem. And we all need to be aware of it, because it is nothing more than an attack by the enemy to try to destroy Messianic Judaism altogether. Anytime there is a movement among God's people to return to true worship of Him in spirit and truth, it always comes under attack by the enemy. And that's all this is. These people are so shallow-minded that they cannot let go of their mainstream Christianity teaching that Paul taught against the law. So instead of turning to God to try to understand the Word of God and what Paul is really saying, and accepting the fact that the other apostles testify that Paul was in harmony with them, instead of doing this and turning to God, did they take the easy path and start to deny Paul? But as Peter told us, the denial of Paul would lead to your own destruction, or to the saying that Paul was lawless. And that's exactly what they're trying to say about him. So as we witness this falling away, turn to the Scriptures and dismiss these people for exactly what they are: heretics. How would any one of you here today like to head to the throne of judgment and have to answer the Messiah? Even if Paul was all you ever denied, how would you like to head up to the throne of judgment and the Messiah tell you you've done pretty well, but I would like for you to explain why you denied my friend here, who I inspired, who I gave you words of wisdom to follow? Wouldn't be a good feeling, would it? Anytime someone starts tearing down anyone from the Bible, run from that person. Get away from them. One of these people's claims against Paul is because, see, they twist Scripture, is they say that Paul claims that Jesus taught him in the desert. And they use the Scripture where Jesus said, if anyone says he's in the desert, don't believe him. Jesus is talking about his return there. Yeshua is speaking when he returns and how everyone will know it. And if someone tells you he's over here, not to believe him. He's not talking about someone being false because he taught them in the desert. Because guess what? If Paul is false because Yeshua taught him in the desert, guess who else is false? Moses. Because where did the Lord teach Moses? In the desert. They have all sorts of these twistings of Scripture. They twist Genesis where it says the prophecies about the tribes, where it says the tribe of Benjamin will be a ravenous wolf. They're twisting that one because Paul said, I'm a Jew's Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. And they're saying that means he's a ravenous wolf. I'm just telling you these things today in case you come across these people. Be forewarned and be prepared, and do not listen to a word they have to say. Because I do believe it may very well be that falling away that Paul himself was inspired to warn us about in Thessalonians. Because you very much, as we've shown here today, when you start down that road, it leads to a complete denial of the Messiah once you've been on it long enough. And remember, when we see all these signs around us at this time of the world's history that we're entering into, and all of these crazies saying these things, and I'll briefly touch on, there's another teaching that's apparently gaining a lot of steam, that the earth is flat. Y'all heard that one yet? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's saw a little bit about it this week, too. There, some people are trying to turn back to believing the earth is flat. So when all of this craziness and these signs of the end are around us, remember the words of the Messiah in John chapter 14 and verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." So as we see all this craziness around us, take heart in the fact that he promised us his peace. And this is a good movement that we're a part of. But it's like all others. It has an attack that is trying to destroy it. So let's all pray in general for it. And let's praise the Messiah for giving us his peace. Let's all be strong and remain separate from this crazy world we live in. And I pray that I will all see you all back here next week. Let's turn to our blessings. Stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.